Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Wednesday on Catholic Answers Live. So happy to have you. You know, every other Wednesday we take an hour for pastoral concerns. This pastoral hour, we call it Your Spiritual Life. We address issues in the family, issues having to do with prayer, any issues having to do with the care of souls. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And if you could use some spiritual or relationship help, just give us a call, please, 888-318-7884. If you have an apologetics question, the type that we usually answer, that is, you know, that's what Catholic Answers means, giving answers about the faith or about why are we or what we believe. Just hold those off for the next hour, because just this 1 hour we devote to pastoral concerns. And so we'll leave the lines open for that. 888-318-7884. And our guest, of course, is Father Vincent Serpa, former chaplain here at Catholic Answers, longtime chaplain here at Catholic Answers, a Dominican priest and the voice of the Catholic Answers Minute. Father Vincent, thanks for being with us.
Good to be here, or good to be there, or wherever.
It's good. Well, or are you like the guy that gets to the age and says it's just good to be anywhere? did you ever hear that?
That's always been the case.
Yeah,
I've heard that too. Yes, but it really applies at every moment.
Yeah,
life is good.
It does good.
On worst days, it's nice to be.
Yeah, I'm glad life is good. And I know you live, I don't know exactly where you live, somewhere in the wilds of Northern California.
It's not wilds.
Are there roads up there?
Northern California.
Yeah. All right.
actually, I hear cars go by in the street in front of the house. Uh-huh. I hear planes go over. I hear trains across across the strait, the Cardenas Strait, and occasionally I hear ships go by with their, you know.
That's
so I hear
cool.
Everything. But yet it's very, very country-like and small townish, and everybody
nice.
Knows everybody, and people are extremely friendly here. It's really nice. I mean, if I go walk anywhere in my habit, people, you know, friendly and happy to see us. So it's a very nice place.
So when you hear those ships, do you ever just get the hankering to hop a freighter to China or something?
Are you kidding? I thought I was happy where I am. I don't go anywhere.
All right. I always wanted to be one of those guys that just hopped on a train and went. I think that's kind of cool.
Oh, you would? You'd like to do that? How would your wife feel about that?
She would be thrilled, frankly. I'm 888-318-7884 is our number here. If you have a question for Father Vincent Serpa having to do with any kind of pastoral concern, prayer, family, those kinds of things, 888-318-7884. And Father, it's September, which means all the Christmas stuff is now starting to come into stores.
Oh, yes. Even Catholic stuff, yeah.
Recommend some good Christmas music to me.
Well, our computers were out today. There was some digging down the street, and it knocked out. They cut some cables, and so we've been out without telephone and landline telephone and computers. And now they came back. And when I turned on the computer to my mail, there was a greeting from the Dominican Sisters of Mary Mother Eucharist with a new album of Christmas music. And I think it's a DVD because, I mean, at least the ad is a DVD, and it's beautiful. And there's all these white-clad sisters in this beautiful chapel, but the music is just wonderful. And the man who was doing the technical, in charge of the technical part of it, mentioned that the sound is so beautiful because there's no ego there. They're all sisters, and they sing as one, and it's a delight. And anyway, I'm looking forward to learning more about it because they'll make great Christmas gifts for a lot of people. Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. At Christmas with the Dominican Sisters of Mary Mother of the Eucharist is a long title, but it says exactly what it is. And anyway,
well, that's the key, isn't it, to choral music and to religious life, is to do your part in a communal way.
Well, believe it or not, it's the key to everybody's life. You know, we're not lone rangers, really. Right. We're all part of one another. Certainly in the church, it's what we mean by the communion of the saints. We're all, you know, part of the communion. We're a part of one another. And even those that the hermits are part of it too. You know, people who live by themselves but are dedicated to the Lord. They're connected to everybody in that way because the Lord connects them. You know,
it's something to think of.
And they pray for us.
Yeah, but the greatest choral music in the history of the world really comes from the Catholic Church. That has something to do with the Catholic Church as a communal undertaking, a communal something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I am looking down here. I have all lines. Well, I was going to say all but one, but now all lines are full to talk with you, Father Vincent Serpa.
Oh,
so you ready to take some calls?
I'm afraid to now.
You scared? Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you. Again, 888-318-7884, our number. Today, your spiritual life is our topic. Any questions of a pastoral nature, a spiritual nature, a relationship or family nature, Father Vincent Serpa is happy to take those calls. We go now to Anonymous in Southern California, listening on AM 1000. Anonymous, your question for Father Serpa.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Happy to.
Sure.
I was calling because in our family, one of our daughters, and I believe it because of the death of our son when she was a teenager, I believe this could be, she started to doubt her faith and at the time was dating a Christian young man, a very nice young man, and then, you know, went away and stopped attending Mass and going to Christian services. And when she comes home, she goes to Mass with us. She hasn't been receiving the sacraments, but she's going to be leaving again to move on with her life, and she's not going to be partaking, you know, unless a miracle, which I ask you to pray for her, occurs, she will be continuing to go to Christian services. She's a beautiful soul. We feel that she's pretty much walked away from the family in some way because she's broken her heritage. I mean, both of our families are Catholic. We raised our children in a very Catholic setting. We have, a daughter in religious life. And I don't know if that's, you know, to address that with her. Would that be a proper or a prudent thing to do to address it to her that way, that she's pretty much walked away?
You could ask, ask her why she's doing what she's doing, and what is it that is causing her to go in a different direction. She may have found a group that was very a Christian group that's very friendly and very warm, and she was comfortable with them, and that can make a difference. But she needs to recognize that she's also. Okay, she's also taking a step away from the Blessed Sacrament, and that's the greatest thing that we have on the face of the earth, because it's the Eucharistic presence of the Lord in our lives is extremely He's God, you know. But she may not be ready for that yet. But you can try, you know. By all means, encourage her to stay close to the Lord. That's an important thing. I suppose she wouldn't want to talk to her sibling who's a religious at this point, huh?
Well, they did talk, and I think at this point it's mainly covering her with love. I did read a book by Brandon Boyd that you first start with unconditional love, then you start to plant seeds, and I think that's where we're at right now. And so I don't know if it's going to be throwing a dart into her heart to say that you've walked away from your heritage, that you're basically cutting yourself off from the family, which is how we feel in our hearts. But I don't know if that would be the right thing to say.
I think the big thing here isn't that she's cutting herself off from the family, your immediate family, is that she's cutting herself off from the church, and she probably doesn't realize what the significance of that. She's going on the warmth that she's finding, which is understandable. But there's more than that, you know. Be patient, and the Lord's not finished with her yet, as is true of all of us. So keep praying, and I will too.
Anonymous, thank you. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more. Father Vincent Serpa on your spiritual life. Any questions that you have on the life of prayer, family life, life in the church, we welcome those this hour. 888-318-7884, the number. We'll be right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, Father Ehrman draws on his experience counseling men who are struggling to live in the world but not be of the world. In a unique, easy-to-read format, he offers holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Are you coming to the Catholic Answers Conference this September?
You guys put on a great show, so it's well worth coming.
Very powerful, very motivational and moving.
I think it's awesome. It's been really amazing to get to know people from all across the country.
Every time somebody's speaker finishes, I feel like I want to cry just because of how happy I am.
It's been pretty phenomenal. Very educational, enlightening.
This year's conference is September 28th through the 30th here in beautiful San Diego, and we want to see you there. Seats are still available, but act now because they are going fast. Call us today at 1-888-291-8000 or visit CatholicAnswersConference.com now and reserve your spot.
This is where it starts, and it definitely has started for me.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 7:31, Jesus compared the Pharisees to children who complain about each other's fickle behavior. For John the Baptist came neither eating food nor drinking wine, and they said, "He is possessed by a demon." The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, "Look, he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors." But wisdom is vindicated by all her children. Wisdom is vindicated in time because it speaks the truth, which alone lasts. How often through the centuries has his church been unfairly criticized in the same way, to the point of persecution and death, as with St. Joan of Arc and St. Thomas More, only to be vindicated by those who came later? It's only a matter of time before Blessed Teresa of Calcutta and Pope John Paul II will be vindicated for their stand on life issues and his stand on sexual issues. It's all a matter of time. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Having fun with Father Vincent Serpa at the breaks. Now we don't have you around here. It's nice to get to chat with you a little bit and receive the benefit. What? It is. It's very pleasant.
Oh, nothing.
It's very pleasant to get to chat with you. 888-318-7884, the number of you'd like to talk with Father Vincent Serpa. We go now to Amanda in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Amanda, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi. I am just trying to get – oh, hello?
We're here with you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Okay, sorry. I'm just trying to get maybe an answer to help with the situation that I'm in with my father-in-law. He is an alcoholic, has been his whole life, and has kind of been out of the family or out of my husband's upbringing his whole life. My husband's helped him out when he's been in financial situations in the past, and he's kind of run my husband dry before. Well, I've been praying for him. I've been doing a holy hour for him for weeks, and he just called my husband this week to say that he was going to go to rehab, which we're so thankful for, and we're hopeful that it works out for him. I guess my question is, he has a lot of credit debt and things that he needs to pay off. What is our responsibility in helping with that? Because I want to do the right thing. I just don't know if that's enabling or if we need to go reach out to our church, what the correct thing is to do here.
Well, you know, the first thing that jumped out at me is be careful that you don't enable. I'm glad that he wants to get, some rehabilitation, but I would kind of wait and see, if it's something that's an emergency and needs to be dealt with, that's another matter. But in terms of anything long term, I would wait to make sure that, that this takes, because, so often they will try it and then, fail at it. So, certainly be supportive and be loving toward him, But he got himself into this mess by some choices he made, and he's going to have to make the right choices on a regular basis now. There's no room for bad choices. And so it can't be an easy thing for him. You don't want it too easy. It's going to be hard enough as it is. And, you know, when you get to the point where you think that it's the time is right, then I would go that way. But I'd be reluctant to jump the gun on it, you know, in any major way anyway. Does he have any kind of income?
He has a job, but he's been kind of beating around the bush on why he's been short on money. And we just found out this week that he had to take a loan out to pay for something. I can't even remember, but it was something so silly that he's short $400 a month. And so he's trying to get a new job, but he has a pretty good job in comparison to, you know, what other people have, I think, but just hasn't been able to manage his money like he should.
Well, it's very important that he be responsible and not dependent. You know, it's so easy for him to think, oh, well, you know, you'll bail him out. And that's not good for him. So he has to struggle a little bit for a while, and that needs to happen. Again, you're not going to let anything really bad happen, but you're in the background, so, you know, supporting him on with the good that he does. But don't make it too easy because, again, you know, human nature being what it is and the addiction being what it is, you don't want to make it too easy for him because then you just, you know, remain where he is. You know, you want him to grow. So that's what I would suggest anyway.
Okay. Well, and it's kind of hard for my husband to, because that's kind of what I've been thinking too, but my husband, I think he thinks a different thing because I think he's never really had a dad growing up, and so, like, in a way, I feel like he feels
but
like
your husband has to recognize that what he's got to do here is not think about himself, but his dad, what's good for his dad, not what's good for him. And as much as he feels the need for it, you know, his dad, if he really loves his dad, then he really needs to put his dad first. And right now that means a little tough love, you know.
Amanda, thank you very much. I do hope that is helpful to you, your husband, and your father-in-law. Thank you very much for that call. We go now to Lori in Lubbock, Texas, listening on Victory Radio. Lori, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. What's your question for Father Serpa?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So my question is, let me see if I can phrase this right. Well, I have two cousins that are kind of going through some issues. I myself am not a perfect Christian Catholic, but I do pray. I've been trying to get back into my faith for the past couple of years. We've been doing pretty well. And now I see that God is maybe calling me to help others, but I do through prayer. And 2 weeks ago I was at Mass and heard the Gospels and the readings talking about if you don't tell others, basically, I'm accountable for their sins or basically for what they're doing and hurting their lives. Maybe I need to tell them. And if they don't listen, bring your family or what is it? Bring someone else with you or bring the church. Uh-huh. And so listening to those, I thought, well, okay, is God trying to tell me that I need to contact my cousins and try to reach out to them in love to kind of help them get out of these situations that they're in? One is in a very abusive relationship, and another is probably heading towards really heavy drugs. So,
all right. Father?
Well, do what you can. I mean, there in many instances, there's not that much you can do because they have to, again, like in the last caller, the person has to take ownership for his own life, you know. But if you could be helpful in terms of putting them in touch with an organization that can help them, something like that. I assume that they live a little distance from where you are. Is that true?
Well, no, we're in the same town. It's just we hardly see each other.
Town.
And, you know, I would think if I were to approach them with anything, they'd probably come back at me with anger, like, you know, you don't know me kind of vibe or something. So I don't know.
Oh, they might think you're just being a do-gooder or something. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, you can only do what you can do, you know, and you can try. You can just, you know, try in a small way, some kindness, showing some interest in them. And if they, you know, if they show that they don't want it, they're not ready for it, then, you know, don't give up completely, but let them, give them some space.
Right, right.
Okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Lori.
That's very helpful. Thank
you. We'll be praying for them, too. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
888-318-7884, our number. Today, Father Vincent Serpa is here with us. Our topic is your spiritual life. We're taking just pastoral questions, questions having to do with how to handle issues in prayer, in family, in those types of things. And we go now to Tom in Warsaw, Indiana, listening on Redeemer Radio. Tom, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hello, Father.
Hi.
When praying the rosary, I get distracted. And I'm just kind of going through the motions, thinking about everything but what I'm praying on.
Mm-hmm.
Got any suggestions on how to help me keep focused?
Well, the fact is that the very fact that you're praying the rosary is that you're trying to pray. So you've made that intention to begin with. The distractions are involuntary. And when you remember, just, you know, think of the words you're saying or think of the mystery you're on, go back to it again. And some days it's a struggle for the whole thing, and it's okay, because every time you go back to it, you're choosing to pray all over again, even though you've been praying all along by the very fact of what you're doing. So even though it's annoying to you and you feel frustrated, you're putting the Lord before yourself, and that's a good thing. I mean, it's very pleasing to him. And the fact that it's not easy gives it more value, you know. So don't get discouraged. We all deal with that, you know, one time or another, and sometimes more often than not. Some days are better than others, or seem better than others. Some days are easier than others, not necessarily better. Sometimes the most difficult days are the best days, because we end up loving him the most by the number of choices we make in his direction. So don't feel like you're the Lone Ranger, and don't give up. It's an up and down kind of thing, and it doesn't mean that you're falling away by any means. It just means that the Lord is challenging you a little bit for your own good. Okay?
Okay. I appreciate it.
Tom.
Thanks very much.
Take care.
Thank you very much, Tom, for that call. 888-318-7884, the number. Father, praying the rosary and then meditating while you're praying the rosary on the on the mysteries, here's a question that I actually have sometimes, and maybe it's a silly question, I don't know, but which thing are you supposed to be focused on more? It's hard to know. Like, are the praying of the Hail Marys, or is that supposed to kind of fade to the background and you're meditating, or do you have
whatever works?
Oh, really?
You can pray it on various levels. Mother Teresa's, I should say, Saint Teresa of Calcutta. I always call her Mother Teresa. Saint Teresa of Calcutta. Her sisters go down the street saying the rosary. Well, you can't be, you know, thinking, and you can't be involved in a very deep thought about the mystery when you can get run over. You know, you have to look at what you're doing. And there are people walking by, but part of you is praying anyway. That's the great thing about the rosary. The very fact that you're doing it and saying prayers, even though you're not giving it full attention, you're giving it some attention. You're getting as much attention as you can at the time. So that's fine. But then when I used to work with Catholic Cancers and drive there every day, I made it as easy as possible to say the rosary as I was driving in the car. I'd only say one mystery for 5 decades. And I would do the sorrowful mysteries, and I would do a different mystery each day of the week, you know, Monday through Friday. Friday, I'd end up with a crucifixion. Because the passion was the easiest thing for me to reflect on in terms of the mysteries. And I never had to worry what mystery I was on. The minute I just go right back to the one mystery I started out with, you know, after a distraction. And then when I wasn't able to think, the traffic was taking my attention, I was still praying, you know, my lips were still going. And so you can pray on various levels with the rosary. It's very good. And it's physical too. You have your hands.
Right.
Moving.
Right. Okay, well, that's very helpful. Thank you. Lots and lots of calls left, so we will get to callers right when we come back after this. Father Vincent Serpa, our guest, your spiritual life is our topic. We're taking pastoral questions this hour, 888-318-7884. 318-7884. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
For a complete list of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network AM and FM stations across America, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. The list is updated regularly, so visit often. Again, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. Also at EWTN.com, you'll find out how to listen to us on the web, on shortwave, and in some countries on satellite. You'll find it all on EWTN.com.
Christian men, beware. With the idols of materialism, entertainment, and the flesh, it's plain to see that the world wants you for its own. Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terrence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, Lessons to Young Men About Life, Sex, Friendship, Vocation, and Loving with the Heart of Christ, Father Ehrman draws on his experiences counseling men who are struggling to live in the world but not be of the world. In a unique format, he offers a plan for ongoing conversion, holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking book by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can give to anyone as a starting point for helping them to find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Vincent Serpa, our guest this hour. We're tackling pastoral concerns. Your spiritual life is our topic. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. And Nick couldn't find any good music, so he played that today. What? I'm sorry, Nick, that I hurt your feelings.
Oh, wow. He's got to be in tears in a minute.
No, I hardly think that I could reduce Nick to tears. It gets a little goofy around here when we have you on the phone, Father. I don't know why.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not me. It's you.
It's funny. I always find that myself when I talk to people. Everything sounds goofy. I don't understand.
Yeah. I do not know why you bring that out in us. Joel in Granada Hills, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Joel. You're on.
Okay, great. So, yes, Halloween is approaching, and obviously, mm-hmm. you know, as Catholics, we want to kind of do the right thing here. Now, it's my understanding that it is a tradition. I mean, I'm sorry, not tradition, but it is something, a holiday that is, you know, by the Catholics, at least acknowledged. But my question is, again, how far would be too far? An example, like, let's say, you know, I'm in California, and the theme parks, they, you know, during the Halloween, they have these mazes. Now, again, they're, you know, harmless, but that could be discerned a certain way. I mean, are we glorifying evil if we partake in these parties and, you know, in these costumes and so forth? So I guess the question is, how far, what is too much? Can we go to parties and, I mean, I guess it's kind of like not black and white, but more shades of gray. Is that correct?
Yeah, I wouldn't build on it, though. I mean, you know, the kids want to trick-or-treat and you answer the door and give the children who come candy, that sort of thing. That's fine. But I don't encourage the parties and going to, you know, it's making a lot of money for a lot of people. And, you know, it's becoming almost like a little Christmas. People put up orange lights and ghoulish things on their lawns. And it's not a great, I think there are more positive things people can do with their time or with their recreational focus than that. And it's certainly not what the origin of the evening is. It's the evening, holy evening, the evening before the celebration of all the saints in the church. It's a great thing. And so, as I say, I don't see that when the children have to be denied the fun that they have, but keep it simple. You know, people elaborate it, make a big deal out of it, and it's not worthy of that. The whole thing is, and the reason why it's growing is because people are making money over it, and people think it's a harmless fun, but it's the opportunity at that time of year to focus on something far better is there if people only take advantage of it. And to have the children celebrate the saints, and there are all kinds of things they can do, the families can do, and still let them do the trick or treating if they need to do that, but the jack o' lanterns and all this sort of thing. But I think it gets out of hand, and it begins to get more attention, too much attention, I think. And again, because of the ghoulish nature of it, I don't think that's the greatest thing in the world. The innocence is fine, but I remember a friend of mine was upset because children and even adults were coming to church on Halloween dressed, as devils and all kinds of things. That's inappropriate. Coming into church, a holy place, and looking like that is a counter sign. They should be taking what they find in church and spreading it elsewhere rather than the other way around, So I don't encourage a lot of that, I must say. I'm not saying it's a mortal sin if you do it, but I think it's giving a lot of money to the wrong people, So again, as I say, in moderation, I don't see that there's anything wrong with it, but because children, feel left out if they can't do what other kids do, and it's not, overtly evil for them to trick or treating, but I don't think a lot of money should be spent in that. I just don't. I think you're giving money to the wrong people.
Joel, how does
supporting the wrong things when you do?
Does that strike you okay, Joel? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, yes. The answer is yes. I mean, I do see the point, especially in Los Angeles and California. They, the entertainment capital, they use it as an excuse to, really go all out. And like you said, it's the wrong reason. It's not even what the holiday is
about. And the decorations last for weeks afterwards. And you keep seeing this stuff over and over. And that's not a good thing, I don't think.
Joel.
Anyway, thanks for the call.
Thank you very much, Joel. And Father, I may have misunderstood, but just so I'm clear, if kids come to my house trick-or-treating, I should say, Father Serpa said not to give you any candy? Is that what you're... Did I miss? I'm just trying to clarify.
No, actually, I'm not encouraging you to be a miser. You ought to be generous.
Okay.
We have to talk about this tonight.
All right. I'll try not to be a miser. Let's go to Rebecca in Salt Lake City, Utah, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Rebecca, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi, Father.
Hi.
I'm a convert from Lutheranism, and so most of my family remains Protestant. And when they visit me, they go to church with me, and they want to receive communion. And I've tried in different ways to explain to them why they shouldn't, from just asking them to respect our rules, that, you're a visitor and just please some of our rules. It's very sacred to us. Or I've just said that, we believe that it's injurious to anyone. It's injurious to Protestants or Catholics to receive if they haven't been to confession, if they're receiving an unworthy state. But they still, I realize they sort of feel that we're just being maybe exclusionary or elitist somehow. And I just don't know how to get through to them.
Well, the fact is they don't believe what we believe. They're certainly free to receive communion if they want to become Catholics. But not all Catholics are able to believe either, are able to receive either. They have to be in a state of grace. So it's not like we're excluding just non-Catholics. The fact is, because we believe as we do, and they don't believe as we do, we believe that one has to be in a state of grace in order to receive the Eucharist. And that means that unless one has gone to confession recently, even Catholics are not allowed to receive Holy Communion. So we're not excluding them alone. It's not about exclusion. It's about reverence for what we believe happens when we receive the Eucharist, and that we want to be as pure as possible to receive Him, as morally pure anyway. So so you might mention that. Because they believe in the Eucharist as they believe in it, but it's not the way we do. And we're not forcing ourselves on them. We weren't forcing ourselves to receive communion in their church. And we just ask that they do that. They have the same courtesy for us.
That's a very good point. I like that very much. Thank you.
Okay.
Very good, Rebecca. Sure. Thank you very much for that call. Ron in Siskatan, Missouri, listening on Covenant Radio. Ron, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Father, I've got an interesting situation here. I was a United Methodist minister, and I had always struggled with Sola Scriptura and some other issues, mm-hmm. and so I've been going to the Catholic Church now for 3 years. I'm in my third year mm-hmm. of RCIA, just because I want to make sure
three,
I got it
third
all
year?
Down.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, my wife
is the
issue.
Okay.
My wife is the issue. She is beyond herself. She is so upset that I have left the Protestant faith, and wanting to be, desiring to be. I know I need to be in the Catholic Church. I mean, that is mm-hmm. from everything I've studied, from everything I've read. I cannot find any argument to disprove anything. And I've tried to share that with her, but she will not discuss it with me. She will not talk to me about it. And she's always, saying little things like, well, go enjoy Mary today, or teasing me because I do the rosary. But I'm trying to just set an example and hoping that eventually she will see, how earnest I am about this. But I'm beside myself. I don't know what to do. Any suggestions?
Well, certainly, I don't know how she'd go for this, but if you were living in the 13th century or the 14th century, this wouldn't be happening because there'd only be the Catholic Church. So that, what you're doing isn't something new. And also the thing about Mary, she's not really thinking this through, but then the problem isn't so much an intellectual one at this point as it is an emotional one, and you are excluding her. She's feeling left out, and yet she has this real angst about the church. Just keep praying, and Mother Miriam, the Lamb of God, this former Rosalind Moss, she had a very hard time with the whole matter of Mary, and but she eventually, when she got it, she really got it, and she's very much into her Blessed Mother now. But I think the best thing to do is you need to do what you need to do, and be as loving to her as possible, and that your becoming a Catholic doesn't mean that you're loving her any less, which I think she's kind of concluding, possibly. So you want to make sure you've got it right. I think it's time for you to take the step, don't you? After 3 years?
Oh, absolutely. I've been kind of hoping that she would come with me to RCIA, and that was a big part of it too. If she would just come with me and listen.
The Lord's timing is
not happening.
The Lord's timing is different than ours. Yeah, right. I mean, you weren't ready for it at one time either. The time may not be right for her. But the Lord knows when the time is. Just go to the Lord with open hands and tell him, Lord, if you want me in the church without my wife right now, however you want me to be yours, as much as I can be, let it be done. And if it means the heartache that I'm experiencing, you're worth it. You're worth it to me, Lord. And just make that part of your prayer. And the Lord is never outdone in generosity. It will work out sooner or later on His terms, though. His terms, not ours. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much, Father. I appreciate that.
Sure. I'll be praying for you. What part of the country do you live in?
Sykeston, Missouri. It's in the Boot Hill.
Missouri. Okay. Good enough. I'll be praying.
Thank you. Thank you.
Lord knows where you are anyway, but just from my own, you know, when I pray for you, I'll be thinking where you are.
I was wondering if you're going to like be aiming the prayer, Father, if you're going to be doing something. Ron, thanks very much for that call. A very tough situation, but that's a lot of what we deal with here during these pastoral hours with Father Vincent Serpa, and your call is certainly welcome if you have an issue of a pastoral nature that you would like to discuss. Ron, call back anytime as well. We'd be happy to talk with you and love to hear about your progress in the RCIA. 888-318-7884, our number. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest. Your spiritual life is the topic, and more of that when we come back right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Jesus called the devil the father of lies, and every time someone tells a lie about the Catholic Church, they're doing the devil's work. Satan is busy today, which is why so many lies are being told about the Church. How many times have you heard people say things like, Jesus wasn't a real person, he was just a mythical figure created by Christians. The Church took Christmas and Easter from pagans. The Catholic Church suppressed certain books of the Bible. The Church is opposed to science. The Church was a willing tool of Nazis and fascists. The Church is, and always has been, an oppressor of women. Combating lies like these is what Catholic Answers is all about. And that's why we've just published The Real Story of Catholic History, an eye-opening new book by historian Steve Weidenkopf. In it, he debunks more than 50 anti-Catholic myths, covering subjects like Jesus in the early church, the Middle Ages, the Crusades, the Inquisition, the papacy, the Reformation, and more. To make your donation and get your free copies of The Real Story of Catholic History and Catholic Controversies, visit Catholic.com and click the Exposing Anti-Catholic Lies banner, or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the Exposing Anti-Catholic Lies banner at Catholic.com, or call toll-free 888-291-8000.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest this hour as we kind of push pause on our usual apologetics questions and tackle spiritual, emotional, or family issue type questions. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. That's 888-318-7884. We go now to Anonymous in Los Angeles, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Anonymous, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
All right. Well, first of all, thank you for taking my call. And my question for Father is, I really have an issue with, I guess this Sunday's reading was about forgiveness. And I have an issue with my father. He's always been absentee when I was growing up as a kid. I'm now in my early 40s, and, you know, it's always been a letdown. Every single step of the way, everything, even when he calls now, every time it's something negative or something he needs. And I just can't seem to, I mean, a few years back, I was like, okay, fine, live his life. It was easier for just to shut him out, not take his calls, not talk to him. It was fine. I was happy with that. But then he starts calling. It's hard. Every time he calls, these feelings of, you know, anger and all the things he did, all the false promises and everything, it comes back. And I really have a hard time forgiving, fully committing to forgiving.
Do you have any idea of what his life was with his father?
I from what I understand, it was a little rough. His father was really tough on him. And, you know, he moved away when he was young, maybe 18, 20 years old. But as an older, you know, my grandfather, when he got older, they were kind of close. So I understand my father was my grandfather's favorite out of all mm-hmm. his kids. But I know it was rough.
Right. And so your dad did not exactly have very good training on how to be a father, did he?
No, and
the modeling that he saw was, yeah, right, and that's true, yeah. And while it's not just a matter of seeing where he is right now, it's remembering the pain that you've endured as a result of his not being close when you wanted your father and he wasn't there for you. And so it's not just a matter of being angry at your father because it's not just an academic thing or intellectual thing. The fact is you hurt because of the way he has been, even though he may not have been completely responsible for that. It wasn't his fault that he was given, you know, a bad training in it. And what the training was is basically just experiencing his father's experiencing. So what fathers do, it's not so much what fathers do, it's what fathers are. And fathers represent God the Father in the family. And God the Father is responsible for our very being, the fact that we are. Certainly our fathers are too, as well as our mothers. But the Father represents God the Father in a very special way. And most fathers are not the least bit aware of this. And they're not even aware of the good they're doing their children by simply being who they are and being there and being attentive, you know, being attentive, giving attention to the children so that the children feel the appreciation of the father for who they are. Because children hunger for that. And not only children hunger for that, even adults hunger for that. That's what fathers do, that's what happens with fathers. Again, it's not so much what they do; it's who they are, who they represent. They are stabilizing factor in the life of the family in a way that the mother isn't. She has her own gifts, but for the father, for the children, the father is this strong, stabilizing presence in the family, and to have his approval, to have his attention. His attention is almost synonymous with approval, you know, for the children. And they don't know this, and he doesn't know it, but that's what's going on. And you were denied that. Your father didn't have a clue as to any of this. And now, as long as you're not reminded of it, you seem to be okay. But seeing him brings the hurt back again because you realize how much you wanted that, and I think still do. And that's what's difficult. But if you can give your father attention, loving attention, doesn't mean you approve of everything he does. He obviously seems to want to be for you what a father is without knowing how to do that. And he has some bad habits too, evidently. If you can try to understand the element in his life that he's not responsible for, that he's really innocent of, and be loving toward him, if he relaxes enough in your presence, he may come around. You know, only the Lord knows, but you'll never know if you don't try it. So I encourage you to recognize the anger you have and to let it out in other ways, you know, punch a pillow or something, but don't let it affect your relationship with him. Because two wrongs don't make a right. The fact that he's done some wrong things doesn't mean that by your doing wrong things, it's not going to make things better. It's not going to make you feel better. It's certainly not going to make him feel better. The only way that some good can come from this is that you're willing to love him without getting something out of it right away, because you want him to be loved. And never mind the fact that, I mean, you can acknowledge the fact that, you know, you feel in another way right now. But you don't act on those feelings. You can, if you do act on them, if you get the anger out in another way, like, you know, mowing the lawn or doing something that gets it out. Be patient with him, and he's the only father you'll ever have, you know. So try to do the best by him.
Anonymous?
In the long run, it'll do you good, too, and your children. Okay?
Right, yeah. The one thing is, I thank him for showing me how not to be, so I'm the opposite with my child. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Thank you very, very much for that call. We still have several people on the line. I'm going to try to get to them. Anonymous, thank you for the call. Father, we go now to Linda in Youngstown, Ohio, listening on Living Bread Radio. Linda, your question for Father Serpa.
Oh, hi, Father. How are you?
Linda, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I should have said this to you. We have very short time, so if you could ask Father a question quickly.
I will do this. I know I need about 2 hours. My problem is I was in an abusive marriage for 29 years. I have four adult mm-hmm. children. It's been almost 10 years since I left my husband because he almost threw me out a window. I don't believe in divorce, but I was in fear of my life. And he's made a havoc of all of our adult children have major issues. And I have Christ in my life. He's first in my life. I pray. Mm-hmm. I talk to him all the day. I listen to my rosary. I go to Mass. I mean, without the Lord in my life, I would have no hope. So Jesus is my hope. Right. I guess my question is, things just keep happening with my children. I can't even, it's stuff that I could never imagine that would happen. It's like my heart has been shattered into 1,000 pieces. I have a son that's 32 that hasn't spoken to me. He's once in a while on the phone, but I haven't seen him in 4 years. I have a grandson I've never met because of his dad. And all of my children have issues, and they're some bad ones. And what I want to know is that, I mean, I know God is listening to me. It's like I keep something good happens, and then I get slammed again with something bad from someone else.
Linda, we're going to have to let Father address that. So, Father?
Well, I'm not quite sure what it is you want from me. Keep praying for them and accept the crosses the Lord gives you. And if this is part of the cross, then offer it to them, you know, make it positive, make something positive out of it. That's what I would suggest.
Sorry,
with the little I know
make
about
something.
It.
I didn't hear you, Father. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Offer the pain that you experience. Offer it to the Lord as a prayer and pray for them, you know. Okay, and recognize this is a cross and that you're willing to carry.
And okay? Even though it's going on and on and on, I want to believe that I might see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So Jesus is my hope, but am I feel like, am I doing something wrong that God keeps letting this happen?
No,
Jesus
didn't do something wrong when he was crucified. It doesn't follow, you know. The Lord's gives us crosses that draw the best out of us. And he's wanting you to accept this cross and carry it, you know, because you love him.
Linda, thank you for that call. Father, thank you for that hour. May we have your blessing before we go.
May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. It's always a pleasant hour when you come on. I don't know where you live. I know you're out in the woods there somewhere up in Northern California, but it's a pleasure to have you here. Next hour, Carlo... What, Father? Next hour, Carlo Broussard will be here, and he's going to help us overcome obstacles to the truth. Have you ever heard someone say, how can I believe the truth when so many people believe different things? Well, that's just one of the many ways people embrace relativism these days, and Carlo's going to help us work through that when we come back right after this on Catholic Answers Live.